What is the Christian position for things that are going on in Afghanistan? For us who love Jesus and are seeing some of the video and some of the stories that are happening, what is the position that we should take as believers concerning what is going on? And what happens when discernment ministries show no love and prove that they aren't really discerning at all? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about a number of topics, but specifically the one that I want to deal with is what is going on in Afghanistan, because I'm going to have to just go through some of the headlines. I don't want to get into all the nitty-gritty because I want to talk a little bit about more of the personal nature of what has gone on there and what is going on right now, and really what our biblical perspective needs to be concerning what is happening there. Because, you know, I think that it's really, really important for us to have an answer when people are asking us, what do you think about this and what's going on here and so forth. And we want to make sure that we're able to do that. So that is the goal here. And I'm sure I'm alongside a lot of you that a lot of this is coming so fast. And for me, I was in junior high school when 9/11 took place and then the quote unquote war on terror began and so forth. But I remember a lot of it. I lived through a lot of that, hearing about the Taliban and Osama bin Laden and all of this stuff. And I just remember a lot of memories, I think, just going through my head more recently as we start to read these. And I want to read some of the headlines because it is pretty heartbreaking. Sadly, it looks like a situation, obviously, with an inept leadership from our vantage point as well. I believe that Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, actually gave a speech the other day and talked about masks and vaccines and so forth for about 15 minutes and didn't take any questions while some of this is going on. And I want to read, as I said, some of the headlines, because just reading these headlines was heartbreaking enough for me. One of the headlines said, U.S. troop fires shots into the air and use tear gas on desperate crowds as chaos at Kabul airport enters fifth day. Taliban block Westerners from reaching flights and Afghan mothers give their babies to soldiers. F-18 fighter jets from the U.S. aircraft carrier start patrolling over Kabul as U.S. troops on the ground fire shots. Just 2,000 people reach half-empty U.S. evacuation flights, of whom only 300 are actually American. A little girl is dead because the world turned away from us. The Afghan girl, 14, who was trampled to death in a stampede at Kabul airport as she tried to reach the evacuation site. You can actually see videos of people passing their children up just to get them to leave because they recognize what is going to take place now that the Taliban is back in office, quite literally back in office there in Afghanistan. And now we have a ton of our military's weapons now in their hands. And guys, this probably for people my age and older, this touches probably close to home. Maybe you have people in your family who went to Afghanistan for this war on terror and so forth. And I think the argument of whether or not we should be there and so forth, that's a great argument to have. But I don't know how that helps with what's going on right now specifically, because I know my brother was in the military for 5 years and about 80% of that time was spent in Afghanistan. And I lost a very, very close friend of mine in Afghanistan. In fact, I want to tell that story because I was just rehashing it because it was something I was thinking about, because now it just seems like, hey, it's right back to where it was as expected. And I've seen some great points made. Hey, how long can you have the military there? You know, maybe it'll be stabilized in 20, maybe 30, maybe 40, about 50 years is all we'll need. And finally, we'll be able to stabilize them. But the fact is that it doesn't look like there was much stabilization going on. And the training of Afghan soldiers, I actually lost a friend to that. And as I said, I'll tell this story because it is really close to home. I had a friend named Andrew Mahalo that I wrestled with back at Royal High School when I was in high school. In fact, my junior year, which was his senior year, he was a year older than me. He used to give me rides home on a car he bought for $50. Not exaggerating. I was like, I literally pay more for video games at that time. But he was just a dynamic kind of person. And we were really close. We wrestled a lot. We were in the same weight class almost when I was younger, freshman, sophomore in wrestling. Then I got a lot bigger than him. But it was really cool because when we won our CIF match, if you guys know wrestling, you have 14 weight classes and you have to wrestle each one of those weight classes. And based on how you win or lose, each team gets points. If you win by points, you get 3 or you can, if you win by enough points, you get 4, maybe even 5. But if you pin someone, you get 6 points and then it accumulates over the course of a match. And for us, we were the number one seed, but we were about to get upset. Because in the finals, we didn't know what we were running into, and the team was pretty solid, and a number of our team captains lost, and it was a tough match. It was just the way it was, and we had to string off 5 straight wins just to win the match, and it all came down to Andrew Mahalo, and he was somebody that he was really fun to watch wrestle, but he would do some crazy things. I remember he dislocated his shoulder in the middle of a match at league finals, and then relocated and finished the match. I mean, he was just kind of a crazy guy. But it came down to him, and he was losing to start, but he ended up rolling the guy and pinning him, and we won a CIF title. And it was one of the coolest memories I had as a non-believing kid, winning that title before I became a team captain my senior year, and we won it again. But that memory was the one that always stuck out to me. And he was somebody who joined the military right away. He looked up. We had a coach that was military, was a Marine, and he looked up to him, and I think that probably played a factor in him joining the military. And he's just a freak athlete. He was just a crazy person in terms of cardio, first on every run. So it was no surprise that he became a Green Beret. And as a Green Beret, he was in Afghanistan. And in 2012, one of the guys that he was training actually turned and killed him and then killed himself. And so this was a time, and this was something that happened back in 2012 that I remember losing a friend of mine. In fact, when I became a head coach, I ended up coaching his niece, and we actually did a fundraiser for wrestlers that would join the military. And it was something that was really cool. We would bring that up, and I got really close with his sister and brother-in-law. And it was just a really interesting thing to kind of have that situation, to have somebody you knew was lost because of this. So a lot of that emotion when I was looking at some of the stuff that's going on there, remember the stories my brother would write to me when he was there, when I was in high school, the stuff that was going on that I had no idea how evil hearts, the hearts of men can be when they're fully depraved. And at the time I was of a depraved mind, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. But I look back at that. And so a lot of those memories kind of come forth, and it can be difficult for people to deal with. And when you're looking at this and asking, Lord, what can I pray about? What's going on there? Because ultimately, we can't put our faith in our country's going to do the right thing, or NATO obviously is going to do the right thing, or Afghanistan is going to do the right thing, certainly not the Taliban and so forth. But ultimately, it's what are you going to do? And I believe that we have an opportunity to pray. Obviously, I think there's probably going to be stuff, you know, barging into the planes and getting through that is going to be very dangerous coming into our country and so forth. But nonetheless, when we look at these things and you see that Christians have been receiving letters where the Taliban knows exactly where they are, and you realize that we're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to be killed. We have women that are going to be raped. We have little girls that are going to be sold off as sex slaves. Guys, this is the reality. And here's what the scriptures actually say concerning this, especially when it comes to our brothers in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 3, it says, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body." We need to recognize that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted there. We need to recognize and act as though we are the ones that are as well in prison with them because they're part of our body. So we can't just be like, oh, well, they're in a different country, so I don't take my time out to pray for them. We have enough problems here. You know, that's really a logical fallacy. One, you're saying you can't pray for someone because you're too busy praying for other people here. I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I can focus a ton of prayer time to a ton of different things, and that's one of the benefits of actually being biblical and praying without ceasing. And so when I think of my Afghanistan brothers and sisters in Christ over there, when I think about missionaries that have gone over there for many years, and I think about the young girls and boys even, you know, that are 12, 13 years old, that they never had a situation where the Taliban was running their country. And we need to pray for them because this is serious. And I think about this. 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite books. And I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because this is amazing. This is truly incredible when you really think about the persecution and this so forth that happens in some of these Muslim-run countries who are run by Sharia law. And here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because remember, when it comes to persecution, you know, it was Tertullian, the early church father, who said that the blood of the Christians is the seed of the church. And one of the reasons he said that was because he was saying, hey, mow us down all you want, but realize that when we die, all we do is spring back up. And that has been the reality. In fact, when it comes to the church, when it's been fattened and so forth by the world, when it's gotten all this esteem, you think about things like Trinity Broadcasting Network, right? You think about things like Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. You think about the Stephen Furticks of the world and so forth, where there are these big, giant, fatted calves. And guess what? They're not really doing anything for the gospel. They have a false gospel. But the persecuted church, over and over again, has been the church that has exploded, has been the church that true born-again believers have come out of. And the promises of non-persecution and Jesus as the cherry on top of someone's life, that has never benefited the body, ever. We need to recognize and look at these things. And this is what Scripture says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus, according to what is written, quote, 'I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you.'" How powerful, how amazing is this? Think about some of those things. We are crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. That the Lord is with us in those trials. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says so clearly when you look at it. I just love that text because when it talks about the temptation, that it's not one that is uncommon to man, but the Lord himself, he is the one that will give you the strength so you may endure whatever temptation, whatever trial you may come across in the flesh, that the Lord himself is the one who will give you the strength to endure it. And I love it because it gives us a way better perspective. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus. Guys, this is so important. And this is why we have to pray for them, that they would endure. And it's so interesting because we're here in the United States and we are so blessed to be able to sit here. We're going to be airing this show on YouTube, on Facebook, on all these podcast shows. We're going to be talking about the beast, the system, Satan, and everything. And yet we're still able right now, I'm not saying that's always going to be the case, we are still able to share this, and people are still being impacted. People are still being saved. People are still coming to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet the enemy is using it for all these different wicked things. And yet God has allowed this reprieve for us to meet people where they are in whatever city or country they're in. And guys, we don't take that for granted. There's a reason we pour out so much energy into this, because we don't know when, because it's not an if, it's a when, right? It's not an if, it's a when. Because if I said, oh, I wonder if someday we won't be able to share these things on Facebook and so forth, it's not an if, it's a when. Eventually, it won't be able, we won't be able to simply be able to share things openly, but we can right now. And so guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it as much as we possibly can. We're going to continue to share. We're going to continue to preach the truth. We're going to continue to expose wickedness so that Christ would arise and shine in people's hearts. But yet we have to remember our brethren as if we are imprisoned or ill-treated with them, as Hebrews 13 says. We need to uplift them in our prayers. We need to go to the throne room and say, God, please, please be there with their hearts. Let their heart not grow cold. And I'm also praying for the Muslims in those regions, those who do not know the true Jesus, who believe in the Isa of the Quran, who have followed the teachings of Muhammad, who follow Allah, who is the devil. And I say, I want them to know the truth. And I hope that, this is what I've been praying. This is what we prayed right before we did the show. I hope that they see the wickedness that is really behind the Taliban, because ultimately what is behind the Taliban, ultimately what is behind that wickedness is the ideology that they follow, is that they're actually legit in their following of the Quran and the Hadith in slaying and enslaving those who do not believe in Allah until they pay a tax or are killed, as Surah 9 tells us, the chapter of the sword in the Quran, that women are coming out. And I just watched a story in Sky News out in Britain. They were talking to a woman by the name of Fatima, and her husband was in the Taliban and recently started beating her. And simply because of a soldier from Great Britain who can decide whether or not someone can go through, allowed her and her children to get out of that situation. And that's because Surah 434 tells them specifically, in your English translation of the Quran, it'll say something like, beat them lightly. But the fact is it's not there in the Arabic. In Surah 434, it tells husbands that they can beat their wives. That's a reality of what the Quran teaches. That's not the God of the scriptures, and that's not the God of reality, the one that actually exists. That's from Satan. And that's exactly what's going on there. And they are the finished product of Sharia law. That's what the Taliban is. That's what Al-Qaeda, that's what Hezbollah. It's the finished thought and process of that ideology. It is exactly what Muhammad, especially when you understand how the Quran works in its reading and the chapter of the sword in chapter 9 and why it negates and abrogates anything that was written previously that might have been peaceful when Muhammad was in a state in which he had no power, so he had to be peaceful, but then once gaining power, then takes away that peace. We recognize that reality and say to ourselves, yeah, guys, this is exactly the finished product of the ideology. Does that mean I don't love Muslims? No, it doesn't. Absolutely love them. I wish you guys could understand how much there's certain Muslims that I have in my life that I have shared the truth with, that my wife and I, we plead that they would come, and we cry out to the Lord that he would send dreams. By the way, if you guys didn't know, Muslims believe that outside of the Quran, the way that Allah communicates them is through dreams. So that's something that we pray about all the time. And so many testimonies we've heard over and over again of Muslims who came to faith. It all started with God coming to them in a dream, the true God, not the demons. And the thing is they don't have what 1 John 4 tells us. They don't have the word of God to be able to test those spirits. So we're able to test those spirits to see if they're from God, because if they don't align with the one true God, the one of the scriptures, the one who has revealed to us in his revelation in the scripture, they don't align with that, then guess what? They're of Satan. So we pray for them. We want them to come to know the Lord Jesus. And I think about these words. These were Jesus in John 15. He said, if the world hates you, starting at verse 18, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Remember that ultimately, it's not you that they hate, it's the one that lives in you. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that Christ lives in him and is no longer him who lives, but Christ who lives in him. And that needs to be the case for every single believer. We need to make sure that Christ lives in us, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that we write on the doorposts of our hearts, we place the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of our hearts, and that he would live in us and make us new. And the Holy Spirit, through God's word and the sanctification process, it says in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth, that we are sanctified and become more and more like Jesus through what the Holy Spirit has written, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we become more and more like Jesus, conformed to the image of his Son. All those who love Jesus, who are saved, will become more and more like Jesus. And that's what we want for our lives. And guess what happens when that happens? The world is going to hate you. Not because you're evil, right? That's what Peter warns about that as well, right? Don't be maligned because of something you do wicked. Make sure that what they're maligning you for is because they have no actual witness against you, that they have nothing that they could bring up against you maliciously because of sin, but that you yourself quite clearly are walking with Jesus, and they marvel and malign because you do not walk in the dissipations that they walk in. I think this is really, really important for us to understand, and we need to pray for those in Afghanistan, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, where there's going to be terrible things that happen to them. We need to make sure that we are praying for them, as it says in Hebrews 13:3, remember them as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated. Whether they're ill-treated or in imprisonment, we need to be praying for them as if it's us right next to them, because we are part of the body of Christ. And we need to be really, really clear about that. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit at the end here about a specific video. And this is really sad to me, guys. I want to talk about discernment just for a second, because I think that it's really sad when people don't understand what true discernment is. But you think about one of the most loving letters in the New Testament. It's when Paul's in prison and he writes to the church of Philippi. And he says this in Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Notice that when you have discernment, when you are part of a discernment ministry, hopefully, that it's your love that should abound more and more. Let me read that one more time. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Discernment, remember, is a flow in that text from love being overflowing. The fact is that we are supposed to be discerning things through the lenses of love, through the lenses of the love of Christ. That's where true knowledge and true discernment comes. It comes from an overflow of love. So when we are looking at things and saying, this is wicked, don't do this, don't practice, it's because we love you. It's the same way with my own children. I don't tell my children, I really don't want you sticking that fork into that electrical box because it will sizzle you, because I'm a party pooper. The fact is I tell him that because I don't want him to be harmed. And it's specifically because I love him. And it's the same thing with discernment. We want to make sure that what we're discerning is true. What we're discerning is something that is we can actually point to. In fact, it's really sad because I had a comment that I had seen on the video we did on Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. And somebody was watching my hand movements and said, oh, in your hand movements, it looks like you're putting up the devil horns, okay? I want to tell you right now, if I move my hands in some way, it's not because I'm possessed. That's ridiculous. It's not because I am trying to secretly signal to other Satanists that I'm part of their group, because I repudiate that and I'm going to dedicate the rest of my walk with Christ to expose wickedness so that Christ will arise and shine in people's hearts. But if you ever see that from my hands, know that I did break my pinky in high school wrestling, and sometimes it doesn't follow suit when I try to close my hand. Nonetheless, there is a guy who's made multiple videos, and I would never even point people to this, but I'm so saddened for him. But it's worse off for those who are actually being fooled by it. And it breaks my heart. People looking through the teachings of Pastor Joe Schimmel and saying, oh, he's putting up devil horns here as he's pointing to things. Guys, what a pathetic, pathetic excuse for what somebody would think is discernment. Really, they're liars. Because when you expose somebody like Kenneth Copeland, right? When you expose heretics, we expose them by their teachings and their fruit, not weird hand signals that you're picking up as they're moving back and forth. This is not discernment. This isn't a ministry. It's a ministry for Satan. This is nonsense, and it's an embarrassment to the body of Christ. And sadly, there's one specific guy who made these videos. He made multiple videos, even made a response video, but the response video is more nonsense of simply slowing down video so hand gestures may look like somebody's making them. And I express them, hey, I want to let you know. And guys, I'm telling you this because maybe you guys don't know this, but I didn't think I was going to be in ministry per se. I believe that every single believer is a minister of reconciliation. And that in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the context of you having a ministry of reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ, that context is at the new creation. All those who are a new creation, right? That's verse 17. Old things pass away, all things becoming new. Okay, so every single person is in ministry in that regard. And I thought that was my life as well. But the one thing that made me want to come alongside on Good Fight was the fact that with Joe, Pastor Joe, when my wife and I first got married and we got pregnant right away, we had our first little son, Eli, 9 months and 5 days from our wedding day. My wife, when she was pregnant, said, I would love a little more help. You work all the time. I worked overtime a lot at my old job, and she's like, I'd love a little more help. Do you mind if we move back in with my parents so I could have more help? I said, sure. So we moved in with her parents, and that was with Pastor Joe and Lisa. And to summarize this as quickly as I can, the fact is that we ended up living there for 2 years. And one of the cool things is when you guys go to church or you guys meet friends and stuff, a lot of times you get to see people's highlights. But when you're living with somebody, you get to see their lowlights and so forth, and get to see them when they're dealing with issues, especially when it comes to being a pastor of a church, as Joe is, and so forth. And one of the things I realized for 2.5 years, roughly, one of the things I realized was that, without a doubt, Joe was legit. I saw him wake up. When I woke up at 4 a.m. usually for work, and I would read my Bible. And guess who would wake up not long after and would be in the scriptures? Be in prayer. And I saw his lifestyle. And I expressed this in more detail. And that's actually what made me want to go into ministry, because I said, I'm a real person. I'm always the same person wherever I am. And if that's how you are, then I could be in ministry with you. If that's what it's like to be in ministry, you're actually always praying for people's reaction on this, I could do that. And that's a reality. And I expressed that to the guy who made 2 videos. I said, hey, man, I'm just letting you know, this is from personal experience. You can use your speculation if you want, but I'm letting you know this is from personal experience. And he said, I'll make a response video, which is more just dumb stuff. And so, you know, it breaks my heart that people are liars and they don't care. But nonetheless, we will move forward. And people malign you, no matter what, guys, just stick closer to Jesus. And people call themselves discernment ministries but have no love for one another and don't care and want to be speculative and so forth, just know that they're not truly discernment. They have no discernment, really, because discernment comes from an overflowing of love. And I hope you guys recognize that from 5-0 News, from Good Fight Radio Show, from Good Fight Ministries, from Blessed Hope Chapel, and from everyone here. We pray that in all your discernment, it comes from the overflowing of love. God bless you guys.
The 5-11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5-11 News.